Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish. The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, how are you?
I'm sitting here with a huge smile on my face because I'm speaking to you, Howard Feldman.
Okay, brilliant. Well, that's we've got a lot to talk about today. And the first thing that I wanted to address was Israel rejecting the United Nations inquiry. Does it matter? Does it help that they reject it?
Well, this is always a subject up for debate. Should Israel or shouldn't Israel cooperate when it comes to these inquiries? And there are some that are of the opinion that Israel should. It's an opportunity to tell our side of the story. But Israel kind of takes the angle, and I can see the rationale in it, saying, you know, when you already come with a skewed mandate and a head of the inquiry or who already has demonstrated her personal biases, and we'll get to that in a minute, you know, why should we cooperate? You've kind of prescribed the judgment before even allowing us to present our evidentiary support. You know, it's a bit like that Amnesty International report, and I know I bang on about it a lot. You know, when they release reports about Yemen or Syria that are very matter of fact, and then they release a report on Israel saying the crimes against humanity committed by Israel, you know, we're at the stage where we think, why even bother? We know exactly what your intentions are. I mean, yesterday, Hillel Noyer, he's the head of UN Watch, the brilliant NGO that monitors the goings on at the UN, especially the Human Rights Council, on not just Israel, but a variety of mandates, said, you know, we are sitting with the Ukraine and Russia possibly on the precipice of war, which will drag other countries into it. I mean, you only had to listen to the exchange at the United Nations yesterday between Russia and the U.S. Secretary of State, Blinken, to know just how serious this is and what is the number one agenda item. It's Israel. So Israel is of the opinion, what is the point of cooperating? And I'll quote you directly from our permanent representative to the United Nations and international organizations in Geneva. This is not in New York. This is in Geneva, because that's where the Human Rights Council sits. And this is in a letter to Navi Pillay, who we'll talk about in a second. So this is Ambassador Merav Elon Shachar saying, "It is obvious to my country, as it should be to any fair-minded observer, that there is simply no reason to believe that Israel will receive reasonable, equitable, and non-discriminatory treatment from the Council or from this Commission of Inquiry." And just a reminder to our listeners is that the UN have set up a permanent inquiry into Israel, not a permanent inquiry into Syria or Venezuela or China, who have rounded up Uyghur Muslims into concentration camps and are committing a genocide, or into Russia, or into Iran, or into Tigray, or into any other conflict around the world. There is a permanent inquiry into Israel. Maybe it's just me, Howard, but it smells a little fishy, like there's some kind of agenda at play here.
34519 or 0618951019. What do you think? Do you think that Israel should cooperate with these investigations, or and try and show at least their side of the story, or should they just walk away from them completely? Look, there's been a tremendous rejection around the world. I saw that Netherlands also rejected the Amnesty International report. I think it was yesterday or the day before. So we are seeing many, many democracies, real democracies actually, rejecting the report, the Amnesty International report. That does indicate, and it must have done them a tremendous amount of damage actually, reputation-wise.
Well, it's quite extraordinary, because I saw Amnesty International and their supporters complaining that it has not received the press that it should have. And maybe even the press are seeing through this dribble. But if you look at, if you compare the list, and we have Australia, the United Kingdom, Czech Republic, Canada, the United States, Germany, Austria, various other countries, I think Serbia is one of them, all roundly rejecting this sham of a report. Who are the entities, because we only have one country on the list, that so far are accepting it? South Africa, the BDS movement, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and Hamas. Hamas, who Australia has just proscribed, and we'll get to that in a minute. Coupled with that, we now have an inquiry into their charitable status and a tax-exempt status by the UK Charity Commission, which is also very telling, because they have apparently have gone against the regulation. So the regulatory body is now launching an investigation into Amnesty International, because their mandate, and they raise funds in the United Kingdom, their main offices are in the United Kingdom. As per the Charities Act, they have to raise money for charitable entities and for doing work that is of public interest. And I don't think drumming up anti-Semitism is in the interest of the public, or pushing some kind of gross hypocritical agenda. So not only does it violate IRA in London, and London, the City of London, is a signatory to IRA, but they are not using their wonga to do good deeds. They've set up a company called Amnesty International Limited, and this is the company they release their reports through. So maybe they should forego the spondulix, because it's not being used to good intention.
Well, nor was it ever going to. So tell us about Navi Pillay.
So cut to Navi Pillay, and Navi Pillay, South African born, former justice, is the head of this inquiry. She sits on the Human Rights Commission. She has been selected as the head of this inquiry. Now, we have a long history of anti-Israel rhetoric by Navi Pillay. She has also signed petitions by BDS South Africa. So we see two agendas at play. We see the agenda of the South African government, which, as we've seen in the past weeks, their sole foreign policy focus seems to be scuppering Israel at the African Union. We have this now history of Pillay and these comments against the state of Israel. So UN Watch have submitted a petition, a document to the head of the Human Rights Council, saying she has to be withdrawn immediately. She has shown personal and professional bias. She cannot be trusted to give a balanced opinion, a non-biased opinion. She's already called Israel an apartheid state. She's already accused Israel of discrimination and systematic oppression. And you can't have somebody be even-handed into any kind of sham of an inquiry when they are like this. Unfortunately, she does have the backing of the head of the Human Rights Council. But this just shows you what a farce, what an extraordinary situation we are sitting in.
What is likely to happen? Nothing. It'll just go ahead.
Likely what is going to happen is it will probably go ahead. The findings will probably be a lot like the Amnesty International report. I mean, you might get one or two token. Yes, there was a rocket fired here, maybe there as well. But we've seen with these reports before, it's just another excuse to try and drum up those resolutions. And I know that we often talk about a greater agenda at play here, but we really have to look at it. And I'm not being a conspiracy theorist, because I hate conspiracy theories. So please, guys, don't send me those things about did man land on the moon, because I'm not a conspiracy theory person. But let's take a look at the history. We've got the UN Conference Against Racism in Durban, South Africa, 2001, with this major push by NGOs, led by NGOs like Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International, pushing this BDS agenda to the exclusion of other racial discrimination against the world. incidents in the world. Coupled with that, we've got this obsessive focus by the United Nations to pass resolution after resolution after resolution after resolution against Israel, also at the expense of other conflicts and human rights transgressions around the world. We've heard our government warn about this major push to question Israel's legitimacy as the nation state of the Jewish people, and the anticipation that the apartheid accusation is going to be the angle that they're going to try and use to dismantle the nation state of the Jewish people. We know what BDS's endgame is. They're not shy to tell you. It's on their website. And here we have this language to the point where we have an NGO whose mandate is to protect human rights drumming up a farcical definition of apartheid, ignoring and erasing Israeli Arabs, as well as the South African victims of apartheid whose experience is unique, in order to push some kind of agenda. I wonder what it could be, Howard.
Let's spend a moment thinking about that. Let's also think about why anybody would reject the Abraham Accords. This makes no sense. How do you stand up against peace? On what basis?
Well, this is just extraordinary. So we've seen those incredibly progressive organizations, if not now, Jewish Voices for Peace, saying that they are anti the Abraham Accords. We've now had an issue this week where Congressman Jamal Bowman came here a couple of months ago. You and I still spoke about him, but he couldn't bring himself to say the word Jew in Yad Vashem. Just couldn't bring himself to say it. He was here with a J Street delegation. And during the course of this week, he has pulled his support for the Abraham Accords, bearing in mind that the Abraham Accords bill in the United States calls for more efforts to ensuring that there are peaceful resolutions and normalization in the whole region. Because, of course, Howard, there's never been a war in the Middle East at all.
Absolutely.
So his excuse is that it ignores the Palestinians. Now, I'd love to hear your opinion. I'd love to hear the opinion of our listeners. I'm of the opinion that if you infantize the Palestinians, and if you keep allowing for this perpetual victimhood without saying, listen here, we all have to live in this region. Either you come to the party, or you're going to lose out. I mean, look what is happening between Israel and Bahrain and the UAE and Morocco. And we've got this incredible association of Gulf Jewish communities. The excuse is given, but it leaves the Palestinians out without saying, well, hang on a minute. You've got two entities not wanting to recognize Israel, not wanting to talk to Israel, wanting to engage in genocide and incitement and pay for slave. You know, at what point does that entity have to take responsibility?
Yeah, it's incredible, because you could say that about everything, and we often see that as a technique. So somebody will write an article, or we'll talk about one thing, and somebody will say, you know, how can you even talk about that? Because what about that? Which completely immobilizes you. In language and in discussion, it mobilizes you, immobilizes, because there's always something else that you've left out. And maybe this actually doesn't have anything to do with the Palestinians. Israel making peace with the UAE and with other countries actually isn't about the Palestinians at all. It's a completely different subject. And the other aspect is, I believe that by doing this, you know, I always use the example of the Maginot Line. Between the First and Second World War, the French built a Maginot Line because they said that this is impenetrable. The Germans will never be able to attack us again and come through. And all Germany did was went around it. And I believe that by going around the Palestinian issue and not confronting it head on, by bringing in people from Saudi Arabia, countries like Saudi Arabia, Arabia, the UAE, other countries, it will be a way of going around these issues and bring Palestinians and Israelis closer to a negotiating table and towards peace. So the rejection of the Abraham Accord, I believe, is rejection of peace and actually doesn't want to see a resolution of the Palestinian and Israeli conflict. That's my thoughts on it. I'd love yours, 34519 or 061-895-1019. We don't have a lot of time, but I do want to know about Pelosi in the Middle East. There she is.
She's in the Middle East. I know that she's very triggering for some of our listeners. Yes, I've gotten your messages. but she was in Ramallah yesterday after meeting with our Prime Minister, Naftali Bennett. And again, you know, whether you like her as a personality, don't like her, we can't detract from the fact that this is the third most important person in American political leadership. And any political leader, be it Pelosi, be it Johnson, be it whoever in the world, is going to come to this area and meet both Israelis and Palestinians. And, you know, that is just a fact. It's a stated fact. It's an accepted fact. So she met with President Abbas yesterday, and he called for strengthening bilateral ties between the Palestinian Authority and the United States. I mean, in the previous administration, these bilateral ties certainly cooled off, and he did express to Pelosi that he's very frustrated that the Americans are taking far too long to fulfill a Palestinian request and requirement. And he was giving a big hint at the Jerusalem consulate, which does require Israeli permission.